Okay, then it's not nice. Okay, go. Welcome, we have lightning talks today. And the very first lightning talk is my introduction to how to do lightning talks. And that's described on this Etherpad. So we have a lot of interesting information bits to share, and you can even do that in a few minutes. So that's how we do it, and for that we add our entry to the Etherpad page. There's even some leftover spaces on the schedule, so if someone has an idea of what to talk about for 4 minutes, anything that's interesting to people, please do add yourself to the Etherpad and linked in the schedule for the lightning talks. And standard time is 4 minutes, but if there's lots left, maybe we give 1 or 2 extra minutes. We can be flexible today. I think we're even at the end of the schedule. So, and the first one would be Andreas Stieger with PCIe deprecation and move to PCIe 2, recap and lessons learned.
Thank you. I just want to briefly share some of the activities that I've conducted on the project last year. And one of them was I wanted to get rid of a particular package. Not that I didn't like it, but it was old and it has successor. And I kind of dislike legacy, so I got to work on it. There's actually some background. I used to work for SUSE, and in 2015, I added the PCIe 2 package. So that's quite a while ago. At the time, the version 1 was old already, and it has been unmaintained essentially since 2018, and nobody noticed. I was still on the mailing list, so in 2025, the upstream maintainers changed because the old guy wanted to retire. So, and it was clear that there will never be a security fixes for the legacy library. That's a problem. It's relying on legacy software is a generic security problem. And this sounded like a fun thing to do. So it started out with just identifying everything that depends on it. I have some numbers in a bit. I looked at the packages that would actually link against the libraries. So this identified most of them. And in addition, there were a number of just buggy development packages, specifically those that specified the manual requirements. So POCO is for Leap 16 is still broken, but we're going to fix this soon. And in the end, just try to delete it and see what breaks. That always helps. The factory staging will line out, point out anything that's broken. So, to answer the question, yes, we're done. So within 1 week, when I really started this, we reduced this from 230 to 74, and the direct consumers to 30. So we had a quick start, and just to complete this, just took over a month. And I saw some people joining in, and I think I have a timeline on this one. Let's see if that works. We actually tried to track this. We didn't use Bugzilla this time, but just checked all the requests in flight. So Etherpad worked for us. And then we essentially burned it down and deleted all the lines as we went along. So right now, I think in April, Tumbleweed was done. So this was just in time for Leap 16 and Leap 16 to get rid of this. So I want to share stuff that worked well for us. So For these kind of things, it's always good to engage factory and to explain the effort so we make it immediately actionable to everybody. And for simple things, just send the CRs and see that they get get processed. For everything more complex, just engage the maintainers. They appreciate this. Just make it actionable. What do we have to do? How do they test? Bugzilla is a good thing to do. And we haven't really figured this out. We used Etherpad to track the CRs somewhere. It worked, but there's maybe in the future I'll look at some supporting tooling. Just to share what I learned, on occasion we find upstream that is dead. Sometimes the project is dead, and unfortunately, on occasion, people just pass away, and I found that as well. There's nothing around this, but if this happens, then and there's no replacement, delete it from the distro. Tracking the distributed work helps. The tooling is not ideal, but we can look at how to prove this in the future. For now, Etherpad it is. I found personally many inactive package maintainers that for some reason dropped out of the community, and I learned that the project lacks a mechanism to track this, track inactive maintainers, and we don't have a clear offboarding process. So we're done with this one, and I'm off to the next one. This would be getting everything to Fuse 3, and there's a bug, and if you're interested, just for completeness, I am hiring sometimes in Dresden and Seattle for similar work like this. Thank you.
Next one is also
mine, yes. This will be a bit, because I have too much time. A year ago, I sat on a ham licensing course. I was asked to pick another hobby, and I ended up with another technical thing. And so I was licensed as a amateur radio operator, and I found out a lot of this these days is heavily based on software. So I looked at what OpenSUSE is doing. Linux actually has a long history of amateur radio. We have the very ancient AX25 protocols in a kernel. There's even a RPM package group for ham radio stuff. Unfortunately, as I entered this hobby, it's not really a dominating platform right now. It's Mac and Windows so it's not a default choice in amateur radios these days. I found that some of the maintainers of the OpenSUSE ham radio project have moved and left. I discovered some past interpersonal differences. But as a result, the packages from the ham radio project were just dropped from Tumbleweed. The maintainers became dormant and not a lot of things were happening. Some of them were collecting on hardware SDR for SDR, software-defined radio-related things. But yeah. And since I became licensed, I just decided to reach out to them, collect some maintainers, and get going. So what I did, I just wrote to them, asked them if they wanted to continue to do this, clean it up a bit. And I think we have four people working on this now. On and off, there's not a lot of traffic, but at least they're responsive. We sorted the packages into ham radio for anything that's generic for amateur radio, and into hardware SDR for things that's specific to SDR. And we added about 28 new packages back into Tumbleweed. Most of them have been there before, but were just dropped for many reasons. So all the useful packages are in Tumbleweed now. Beyond then, you can check into the two projects that I mentioned, and we have a new portal page where we just introduce ourselves. It's a very lightweight workflow documentation and some pointers for people that might be interested in the hobby. So personally, that's software that I use quite frequently, Chirp, just to program my handheld radio. So you can program your transceivers. A lot of these days, ham radio connections are actually digital. This is SWA-JTX. And running weak signal protocols suitable for weak signal propagation. So that's really long range on shortwave. And things that I'm currently working on is FreeDV, which has a couple of very low bitrate codecs and then directly connects to your transceiver, and you can do digital voice over low bandwidth and high noise channels, digital voice transmission. And this will be coming to that project soon. So if you want to learn more about this, we have a portal page. If you actually want to learn how to learn the hobby and want to get licensed, there's a for Germany, there's a online video course and training course for the entry license at 50ohm.de. It's pretty straightforward, and this was developed by a couple of amateurs, so this is the iteration over the previous way of doing things, which was getting the book. Thank you.
Thank you. So, next up, we have... Alexander Rowski. Yeah, your turn.
Say when I should start?
Yes.
Now. Okay. Yeah. Hello, my name is Alexander Orlovsky. I am CEO of Orlovsky Consulting GBR. We provide different types of IT services, and why I'm here, why I'm standing here. Many times and quite often, we use open source software, and we tend to be very well caring and promoting ideas of open source. But there are some cases where some open source communities clearly not understand our thoughts. It's pity. And direction from where we are coming somehow get not really good communicated. And maybe we should, as my company should improve the way how we communicate. So anyone who interested to talk with me about this topic, I will be now at the backstage and we will continue further. Thank you very much. It was great fun.
What is this on the homepage? Okay, yeah, Roland. And we have a link.
Yeah. Hi. As some of you know, Microsoft is ending the life of Windows 10, which is good. And Microsoft is forcing people to go to Windows 11, which requires you to buy new hardware. But that's a pity because your current computer is working perfectly fine, right? Let's install something meaningful on it. Let's use Linux. I'm a Debian guy, so sorry about that. I will install Debian on it, and we even made, with the help of OpenQA, a fully automated test that takes a Windows computer, resizes the partition to make a little bit of space for Linux, and then we run in OpenQA the installer of Debian, reboot the whole computer, see that Debian still is booting and working as intended. We reboot the computer yet again, go back to Windows, check if the desktop is there, and then we have a proof of concept. You can still use your own computer with Windows. Don't connect it to the internet, please, at that moment, because if there is no security support from Microsoft, you will become a botnet client really soon. But at least you will be able to run some older programs, get access to all your old data without wiping your complete hard disk, and you can slowly migrate to Linux. And of course, everybody is using Firefox as a browser, Thunderbird or similar software as an email client, LibreOffice or OpenOffice as a text editor. So what's the difference? Switch from Microsoft to Linux, be it Debian or SUSE. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Okay, and we're getting close to the end, so we still have open slots, and since nobody else added any topic here, I'm adding two topics of myself. One is about a tour I wrote many years ago called Curl WWFS that allows you to mount a web server. And I will quickly show you how that works. So first, you need a web server. Let's take Async OpenSUSE org. And on there we have factory ISO. Let's use that to and we need the mount point, then we need the URL, we use curl to this mount point, and it doesn't background, so we need to background it ourselves. And in here now we find the files, if we want to check a file like the DVD ISO, let's make another mount point. And using Fuse ISO, we can mount the mount point without having permissions on the machine. Then we can check in there. There's files in there, and we can, for example, not this one. Look at the README, I would say. And we can read files out of the ISO without downloading all of the ISO and without needing any root permissions. So that's the nice thing about that. And when we are done, we do fuse mount minus U, I think it was, and the other one, and then the mount is gone again. Yeah, and that works with several different web servers that have proper directory listings, and it's really fun to work with these kinds of files. So that's the one topic. Yay! And the other topic is about making music. We will have a full hour workshop tomorrow, but I want to give a short introduction about this part here, that is a JavaScript application where you have a script that says do a bass drum, a hi-hat, an open-hat, and do this thing here twice, and we can just play here, and only it's too silent to hear. Maybe we can use this plug here, I'm not sure. Do we get audio? Don't get audio. Without audio, it's not that much fun. Anyway, you could, or maybe. I can hear it locally, but. So the idea is you have the script, and it shows you now it plays this and this, and there's a certain syntax, and they come with a lot of examples. In, I think, under Learn, they have these examples here, and you can try these examples live, and then it starts out with this chord of B minor with ninths added, and then this other chord, and then it adds some drums later with a rhythm, and you can play around and edit it live here and press update, and it changes live the music that is playing. So that's really a cool toy to create music live. Maybe try this microphone. Hear something? So you can change the chords, for example, to not have a minor chord, but a major chord, and then you press update and changes the music. And so it's interesting too, and you can have a look at that and more stuff like how to do sheet music with MuseScore and Lilypond and these things. Okay. Thanks. So, and if there's no more lightning talk topics, then we're done for today. So have fun. See you later.